it was a big shock to the Nan community when these allegations came out. He was a very trusted person, man of God, and people thought he was their friend and trusted him with their children.
Ask anyone in Northern Ontario, and most will have a similar story about Ralph Rowe. And that includes Craig, whose last name can't be identified due to a publication ban.
He was an Anglican priest, he was a Boy Scout master, and he was also a pilot. So, and I didn't know any better at that time when I was just a little boy.
Nearly 100 people have flown to Wanamon Lake First Nation from nearby reserves to take part in a sexual abuse healing conference organized by the Ralph Rowe Survivors Network. It's the second day of the three-day gathering, and everyone is pretty much acquainted with one another.
I'm from Webequay, and I'm 36 years old. I came here to this conference to get that healing that I needed, that I been wanting for a long time. I'm one of the first ones to take Ralph to court.
Back in 1994, Rowe was sentenced to 6 years in prison for sexually abusing 28 male victims in 9 different settings. The incidents date back to 1971. He served 3 years.
Well, my name's Heather Matthews. I used to be a suicide advocate here before. This week, I'm co-chairing sexual abuse workshop for families, specifically on Ralph Rowe. During the whole time that I'd known him, he was charismatic. You always wanted to be in his company. Everything he did was so engaging. He made it a child's haven at his home. It was like a child's haven, and same in the church. Before Ralph Rowe, we were taught to respect the church. When Ralph Rowe was here, he told our parents to let us be, to run free. In 1989, we had a cluster of suicides. And from there, we didn't know what was going on or how to deal with these suicides.
A few times I had a gun to my head, a rope to my neck, tried overdosing on pills, alcohol. There was a number of times I tried.
Craig was one of the lucky ones. He didn't succeed.
When we had the suicide epidemic, I know when one of my brothers committed suicide, and that was what led me into suicide advocacy. I guess that's what it was called, because I was going around telling everyone that you need to do something to stop these kids from killing themselves. When I went to a suicide conference in Vancouver, I heard about this First Nation, and they had a cluster of suicides there, and I often wondered, Ralph Rowe was there, and then he came here, and the same thing happened everywhere he went.
My name is Don Hewitt, and I'm a support advisor to the Ralph Rowe Survivor Network. I was with the Northwest Patrol Unit as an OPP officer since 1974. And back in 1992, I had a conversation with a young man that was the first one to come forward and complain or make the allegations against Mr. Rowe.
I was looking for an answer, and finally he was the one that gave me that answer as to why our kids were killing themselves. I'm not sure if all of them were affected by Ralph, but our community at that time seemed to be a healthy community. Yeah, they were drinking and stuff, but overall, it was a lot healthier than it is today.
Since 1986, the western part of Anishinaabe Aski Nation has had 321 completed suicides. While Matthews has her opinion, so does Hewitt.
I don't deal with ifs. I deal with fact. And as far as I know, there is no factual evidence implicating anybody in a suicide. You'll certainly hear that throughout the North, but you have to deal in fact.
As 7 boatloads of people arrive on St. James Point, the wind picks up and storm clouds roll in. This may be the only storm cloud in sight. However, bigger storm clouds are in the minds and hearts of the survivors and their families, huddled under blue tarp on the grounds of a former Boy Scout camp located across the lake from Wanaman Lake First Nation.
I went on his canoe trips. We used to go on canoe trips with the scouts. And I was a tomboy that time.
While Matthews had escaped the inflicted sexual abuse by Roe, many of his targets weren't so lucky.
Those were my best friends he hurt and abused. A lot of them, I hung around with them, and I always wanted, you know, to be part of his crowd. I knew him very well. Well, I thought very well. You know, I guess I didn't really know him that well.
Harry Kennequanash is one of the walking wounded.
When I gave my statement to the police in Thunder Bay, I said, this is my last job. If you guys don't want to take my statement, fine. You know what happens in baseball when you have 3 strikes? If this is going to be my 3rd strike, that's that. I'm taking my own life and protest.
As the stories get more detailed, the men ask that the recorder be turned off. The rain continues to fall for the next hour, and so do the tears. There is strength here, and despite the heavy load each one carries, the mood lifts up and laughter can be heard. And as the sun breaks through, prayers and hymns begin, led by traditional healers, Anglican and Christian ministers. Painful past is done for now. The survivors climb back into the boats and head across the lake. While the live broadcast gospel jamboree takes place, sexual abuse survivor Arthur Monroe speaks to the crowd in attendance and anyone tuned into Wawate Radio.
And a lot of times I contemplated suicide. The song here that I'm about to sing here, I wrote this in Thunder Bay, like I said.
With this conscience that won't let up either way. Struggling with pain and agony and the doozy's got to pay.
It's now after midnight and everyone retreats to get a good night's rest. The next day, as everyone begins to arrive in the school's gymnasium, organizers have a surprise that wasn't on the agenda. The survivors and their families begin heading toward the church, while some take long. The men and their families plant 100 cedar trees, one for each person who is in attendance, that haunts them. NAN's former Special Projects Coordinator Carol Rowland takes the time to plant a tree herself as she tells the men that this moment is a remarkable one, symbolizing the growth that they have made these past 3 days. Craig felt uplifted by the experience.
What it felt like was there was this big thing that lifted me up to carry on with my healing. And that's what I asked for, was to have that strength to come to this conference. And I didn't know anything about the mission house until the agenda.
Despite the morning spent at the Anglican Church, Craig says he won't find healing there.
I can't find healing through a church or something to do with church. I have resentments against the church because of what they did to me, of the priest, what he did to me.
After lunch, the people separate into sharing circles. The women stay in the gym, most of which are wives, girlfriends, or common law of the survivors. And as I walk through the gym, open a door, and walk through a long hallway, I arrive in the main lobby with stairs that lead to a second level that houses a library. The survivors are in that room. Step outside and walk around the corner and up a hill, and the health services building becomes visible. Inside, parents of the survivors struggle with their own grief for forcing their children to be in the presence of Roe. Matthews excuses herself from the woman's circle to take me for a trip down memory lane, a lane she sometimes wishes she never had to step foot in.
I don't know, I think a lot of people want to just forget and wish it would just go away.
Matthews recalls past events with clarity as she sits in front of me, stone-eyed.
It was very difficult for this young man. His parents worked in a church. I didn't know how to help him. I didn't know what to do. And I realized when this man disclosed that there were more of him, because of when I looked at what is happening to his life, then I seen a lot of the young guys in the same position, going through the same things as this young man. And it took about 2 years before it went to court. But during that time, others came forward. The trial was held here in Wenamun in 1994. One of the things that was kind of evident at that time at the court was that the elders and the clergy members sat on one side behind Ralph Rowe. It kind of made you wonder what kind of message that was. And you're always told just to forget and forgive and not to say anything when someone did something wrong to you at that time.
The wounds are deep for many members of the Ralph Rowe Survivor Network, but there is something present here that has struggled to surface. Hope. For Wawate Radio, I'm T.R. Wilson in Wenamun Lake.